out to U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow. Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Well, hi. It's good to talk with you.
It's always lovely to talk to you, and I know you're in transit, and we'll talk right off the top. You're headed to Battle Creek for the Cereal Festival Parade.
I am, and, you know, I was a little worried because it's been raining all day in Lansing and so on, and but it looks like it's clearing up a bit, so I'm looking forward to it, and it's the beginning of a weekend festival, you know, with they have the world's longest breakfast table tomorrow morning, so folks should come on down and have some cereal.
if it's summertime in Michigan, it's festival time, and that's one of the things we love so much about Michigan. We're gonna take a step in another direction for just a moment here and talk about gas prices. You were in town today at H&H Mobile, and boy, families are struggling. Everybody is struggling with gas prices right now.
Boy, that is for sure. And, you know, today, and I was really pleased, Jim Little, who owns this station, I'm really pleased that he joined us today to talk about a couple of things. One, in the short run, we're in a situation now where we're not only held hostage at the pump for whatever the oil companies want to charge, but to add insult to injury, even though they have the highest profits right now in the world, we are still subsidizing them with taxpayer dollars, which makes absolutely no sense. Made sense 100 years ago when it started, makes no sense now. And so one of the things I've been doing is leading the charge to have, you know, step one on being able to pay down the deficit. Let's stop funding things that don't make sense anymore. And one of those are these huge billions of dollars of subsidies to oil companies. So that was number one, what we were talking about. And then secondly, talking about how the real way that we bring down these prices is to get some competition for gas. And so, you know, we were there at Jim's station, and he's got an E85 pump that was about 60 cents, I think 60, 70 cents cheaper per gallon. That's, you know, good old biofuels and, you know, ethanol mix brought to you by Michigan farmers. And so advanced biofuels, and with my hat on now chairing the Agriculture Committee, very involved in working with our farmers to give us more choices beyond traditional gas. And then he also personally owns a Chevy Volt, and it was great. He has the only charging station at a gas station where you can pull up and plug in and charge your electric car. And I thought, boy, now that's the real way to bring competition here for oil prices, is for us to those who can to be able to purchase electric vehicle. And we've included a $7,500 tax credit for folks to help buy these new plug-in electrics. And so hopefully, as folks were able to do that, instead of, you know, going 18, 20, 25 miles or 30 miles on a gallon of gas, you can go 200, 250 miles on that. So the real solution here is to give more consumer choice.
Well, and that choice is always good, and it sounds like Jim has it all wrapped up there. He's got all three things going.
Yeah.
But you talked about it being the real way. I mean, the E85 and the Chevy Volt, thank heavens it's out there, and GM just announced today that it was opening it up for orders up for all 50 states and lowering the base price for it. So that's
right.
Good news all around as well. But today, when we're looking at what we can do about gas prices, why perhaps we work for and save towards that Chevy Volt, are getting rid of these oil subsidies something that can work in the meantime?
Well, there's several things, and unfortunately, the frustrating part, I mean, this is a, you know, private sector industry right now that can set whatever price it wants, and they do, unfortunately. But we should not have adding insult to injury by also paying for their high prices and their profits, you know, through taxpayer subsidies. So we ought to be taking that away. And then the second piece is, in the short run, we know there's a certain amount of market manipulation. People who are speculating on oil prices don't intend to use the oil, to buy the oil. They're just bidding up the price. So I held a hearing on that to in my role, again, the Agriculture Committee oversees commodities, and Senator Levin has as well been very involved in the whole effort, both of us in different committees, to put pressure on and to call on our federal agencies to get tough with those that manipulate the market and drive prices up. So part of it is market manipulation, and the other part about it is that even when the oil companies are out saying, well, the problem is, you know, we're not allowed to drill in places we want to drill in this country, we found that there are 60 million acres of leased land, that the leases that are owned right now by the oil companies in our country, that is that's been leased to them to drill on, and they're not drilling on most of it. They buy up the leases so their competitor can't drill, and then they don't drill either. So, I mean, part of this, you know, I'm sponsoring legislation with some colleagues called Use It or Lose It, either use the lease or lose the lease to somebody who will drill. So there's, you know, there's several pieces to this. We ought not to be, you know, subsidizing them, and we ought to be using that money to pay down the debt, but we got to get cracked down on over speculation. We've got to make sure that folks aren't manipulating, the drilling leases, and then we've got to just work very hard to move quickly to alternative sources of energy, and that's jobs for us. You know, we're making the Volt, we're making the Ford Focus Electric, we're making those batteries. We're going to be the world center for that, and the biofuels that our farmers are working on, and new opportunities in cellulosic ethanol. We've got to move on all fronts right now, so that we can, because we've got the worst of all worlds right now. We have no competition, high prices at the pump, and on top of that, as taxpayers, we're spending money that, frankly, we don't have to subsidize their profits. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I talked to a legislator here in Lansing this last week or week and a half ago, and he talked about legislation to try to get to folks in Washington about opening up a Canadian pipeline. Is that of interest?
Well, there's a Canadian pipeline that's been talked about on natural gas for a number of years that I've strongly supported. I'm not sure if there are other pipelines as well. That certainly that's part of it. I mean, I'm an all of the above person. You know, I
look
think,
at it all.
We need to look at it all. I want it to be American. I want it to create jobs here. I want to give people choices, so we're not held hostage right now to the top five oil companies. And to me, that's the biggest thing. And I'll support natural gas, biofuels, you know, electric vehicles. I'll support all of it because right now, as I said, we've got the worst of all worlds. Whatever they want to charge us, we're stuck with. And for too many folks, you know, too many people right now are spending more on gas than healthcare or groceries. And you know, people that are on the road to work or the kids to school or just, you know, doing what they need to do are having a very tough time.
Well, as usual, when you're home for the weekends and back in district, you're going 14 different directions. You got to do something kind of fun today in Jackson, a ribbon cutting at the Center for Family Health. Kind of an interesting operation and how the new facility brings a lot of different parts of it together in one space.
This is really a really neat center. I am really pleased. I've been working with them for a long time because local community health centers are very much a part of the way families have access to care for themselves and for their children. And as you said, I mean, in Jackson, they've had little bits and pieces of health care provided in different places around this city, hard for families to get to. And in working together, we've been able to bring it all into one place and working with a loan guarantee, actually through Department of Agriculture, again, which I chair, Rural Development. They were able to basically get a loan guarantee to help them get a loan to be able to put together this health clinic that's going to have preventative care and medical care and dental care and so on for families in Jackson County. And one out of four families in Jackson are using these services right now because of the economy and what's been happening for folks. A lot of people, you know, are working two or three part-time jobs but no health care, or they've lost their health care at their job, or the costs have gone up so much they're not able to provide it anymore. So this is a really important center. And the really great part about this is that they were given a loan guarantee for almost $10 million and didn't need to use all of it. They only needed to access about $7 million because the community and in the private sector, businesses in the community, the local banks and so on, all got involved, and they didn't need to use the entire loan guarantee that they were given. So that's a great story.
I was going to say, that never happens in your line of work.
I know, and it's just because the people in the community care so much, and they all came together. So, you know, that's the best kind of story.
Well, it's a great story, and it certainly a lot of folks could fall through the cracks without a healthcare center like this.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a wonderful thing, and one of the fun parts of your job that you get to do. And the Battle Creek Cereal Festival Parade is yet another one.
It is. It's going to be great, as they say.
Oh, that's very good.
I'm sorry. Pardon me on that. No.
No, that was good. It's a Friday night. We get to do that kind of thing on a Friday night. As always, a pleasure to talk with you. Travel safely and enjoy the festivities.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.